I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, it's time now for Food Friday, and with Thanksgiving right around the corner, we thought we'd look up some expert help.
Our next guest is a national pie baking champion, and she's got some great tips to inspire us in our pie making efforts.
Joining us now is Michelle Stewart. She's a pastry chef and author of Perfect Pies and More. Michelle, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you to have me. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're talking pies, which is something a lot of people look forward to on the Thanksgiving table. And in terms of, you know, the daunting factor of pies, is it hard to pull off a great pie?
It's not hard to pull it off. It's just a lot of practice and patience and love and determination, and you'll get it.
Well, one thing I like about your book is that you divvy it up into easy, I think moderate or medium, and challenging pies. So there's a stepladder there. What is an easy pie for the novice?
An easy pie is like really any of the fruit pies that you make. We use all fresh fruit, so there's really no reason to overmask it with seasoning and whatnot. So it's really just a few seasonings and cutting up the fruit and placing it into your pie shell. And then if you want to make it even easier, just make it with a crumb topping, and you don't have to deal with rolling out the pastry, you know, the pastry top, if you're too intimidated to do that.
Well, speaking of intimidation, I am intimidated by the pie crust, and I've even read, you know, fancy articles about the secret to the perfect pie crust, and I have to tell you, it's never been easy for me, and it ends up like little piles of shred of dough, and I have to kind of push them together, and they look like a little gobbledygook. So what can we do to make pie crust better?
Well, one of the most important things is to keep your ingredients cold and make sure, you know, I use Crisco or vegetable shortening, make sure it's nice and cold so that it doesn't kind of melt into the flour mixture as you're trying to mix it. I like to use my fingertips when I'm mixing it, so this way I have control over how much I'm mixing it rather than a blender where, you know, you could, you know, have a good chance of over-mixing it. I also like to use ice-cold water when you're adding your water, you know, 1 tablespoon at a time. You don't want to add all your water at once or else you'll not be able to add it all because it'll be too gooey and you won't be able to mix it in properly. So, and I like to use a marble rolling pin when you roll it out because then this way you can keep your rolling pin in the refrigerator, keep it nice and cold, and this way, you know, you can keep your whole crust nice and cold as you're rolling it out as well.
Michelle, I'm going to make a confession. I keep my crust very cold because I buy it in the freezer section at the grocery. should I be ashamed or should I be okay with using that frozen pie crust?
You know, I always tell people if it's between you making the crust and not making the crust, go for it. And, you know, or I mean making the pie and not
right.
making the pie, just go for it. So rather than not making it at all.
Do you have an alternative to Crisco if someone doesn't want to use Crisco? Does butter work?
I honestly have never used a butter crust. I grew up baking with Crisco, and that was kind of like our standby, as my grandmother taught me. And
what does Crisco give you that some other stuff wouldn't?
It just makes for a really flaky golden pie crust, kind of like melts in your mouth. And you can actually see it when you roll it out. You'll see the marbleization of it, and that's what will give you the flakiness.
Now, speaking of cooking with your family growing up, pie is really one of those tradition foods often handed down. When you're trying something new, how do you balance the element of tradition on the one hand with the need to make something fresh and fun and new on the other?
You know, I think it's just really, it's families have their own baking traditions. So it's kind of like something that's passed down from one generation to the next. It's, you know, that's what's in your family. But it's always great to try something new as well. But you can keep the old traditions within the baking circle as well.
Now, we have some pumpkin pie, haters in my family. But I think that the Thanksgiving table is not complete with a pumpkin pie on it. But you have kind of an alternative. It's still a pumpkin pie, but it's got a little twist, a pumpkin meringue pie. And I should point out that we're going to post this recipe on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us about your pumpkin meringue pie.
That's really good because the pumpkin, you know, we use all fresh pumpkin. We process about 6,000 pounds of pumpkin a year. And that, first off, makes, like, a big difference. I don't know if you've never tried it. I strongly suggest it because it's more fruity tasting, and you really don't have to put too many spices in it because you're getting the taste of the true pumpkin. So that's, first off, like, that's what makes this pie special. But if you want to use the canned, you can as well if you have a time saver. But It's, you know, great because this pie has, like, you know, the traditional pumpkin spices, and then you just add a little twist by putting a meringue on top.
I like what you're saying about not overdoing the spices, because I really like the natural flavor of pumpkin and a little sugar. It doesn't seem like you need to go too overboard. Does that hold true for a lot of pies, not just pumpkin?
It does, yep. When you're using, like, fresh peaches or berries, and, you know, another thing that makes sense when you're using all fresh fruit is sometimes the fruit is a little sweeter than others, so I always suggest to taste the fruit before you actually season it, or before you add the sugar and stuff, because you may not need to add as much sugar.
I've gone the other way. Sometimes I make things that end up being so tart they make you pucker because you know, tart apples or whatever.
Yep, that's why I always say to try the fruit.
I want to go back to the pumpkin meringue pie because we haven't talked about the meringue part yet, which is what makes this special. So you're beating your egg whites, I assume. And what does it taste like then? What does it taste like to have meringue instead of whipped cream on top of your pie?
It's almost like a creamy, but it's not cream. It's really good. It kind of cuts down on the taste, you know, of the spices, and kind of all melts together, and it's really good.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a great showpiece for your table.
Excellent. Well, that might, you know, give the pumpkin pie a little kick in the pants for people who are a little bored with it.
Yep.
Now you have to make it, Veronica, and report back. Or better yet, bring the second one in for us to try.
I may just do that, actually. It looks beautiful. And again,
in my first book, we have a pumpkin pie with a maple pumpkin with pecan streusel, which is really popular.
Oh, maple.
Store.
So do you just add some maple syrup to your filling?
Mm-hmm. It's a little different mixture. It's maple syrup and some brown sugar and cinnamon, nutmeg. And then we bake the pumpkin, and then you add the streusel towards the end of the baking. And it's like a brown sugar, butter, pecan streusel.
Ooh, that sounds delicious, too. What else do you think belongs on a Thanksgiving table when it comes to pies?
Well, of course, apples. Those are traditional. One of our biggest sellers in the store is our chocolate pecan bourbon pie, because that's my signature pie. But any sort of, like, apple, pumpkin, and a pecan of some sort.
So there's a traditional pumpkin, apple pie, sorry. Have you done anything funky with apples to make a really different kind of distinct apple pie?
One of our popular pies is like an apple caramel crumb pie. So it's kind of, you got a little layer of caramel on the bottom, then you got your apples, and then you have a crumb topping that's topped with some caramel as well. So that's a fun, kind of a kid-friendly. I mean, every kid loves that apple pie, but that seems to be a popular one.
Can you talk us through some variations on toppings that we could try? Meringue is one. What else do you think might work?
Well, it depends if you're using, you know, for a fruit pie, you could do, you know, crumb topping. We have a walnut crumb topping in the book, a coconut macadamia crumb topping. If you don't want to do the pastry crust, you could do like a lattice crust to make it more attractive. If you were doing a cream pie, you could do different kinds of whipped cream. We have like a maple whipped cream. You could do a chocolate whipped cream.
We did maple whipped cream one year. That was really delicious and pretty easy. It was lovely to have.
Yeah, that was great, too. Like, if you wanted to do just a traditional pumpkin pie, you can make some maple whipped cream pie, you know, maple whipped cream to put on top.
So speaking
with your apple pie, it's good.
You mentioned the kid-friendly pies. You've also got a recipe for an Oreo pie in the book.
Yes, that's my son's absolute favorite pie.
Aha. How does that work?
It's really good. It's an Oreo cookie crust, and then it's got hot fudge on the bottom, and it's vanilla cream that's cooled and mixed with whipped cream and Oreo bits and whipped cream on top and topped with crumbled Oreos and hot fudge.
Okay, that sounds crazily good.
Every kid that I know requests that for their birthday.
Really? So kids will eat pie for their birthday instead of birthday cake if it's good enough?
Yep. And in the book, we also have a birthday cake pie, which is basically a cake in a pie shell.
Oh, there's a picture in your book, and it does look spectacular. Hot fudge on the bottom. So that I like the idea of maybe mixing traditional and non-traditional at Thanksgiving. There's no law that says you have to have pumpkin and sweet potato and pecan.
Nope, of course not.
Will you be trying anything different?
I bake thousands of pies for Thanksgiving. I take whatever's left.
You get the ones that didn't sell as well. They end up on your Thanksgiving table. Okay. And they're still good, though.
Yes. Everything we make is good for our holiday menu.
Well, getting back to crusts and the more non-traditional kind, here's one that struck me as different. I've been seeing a lot of pretzel rolls in stores, pretzel this and that. You've got a pretzel crust for pies.
I paired that with the candy bar pie because I think, sweet and salty at the same time is a great combination.
Yeah, that whole salt and caramel thing everybody's doing, I think.
Yep. Yeah, so you can really work whatever kind of your favorite candy bars into that pie.
And is the starch crumble just like a graham cracker crust, except you're crumbling up pretzels?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Well, since we're talking with a pie baking expert, I want to mine you a little bit more about crusts, my arch nemesis, the crust. What do you think about, those things at specialty food stores that shield the edges so they don't burn? Are they necessary?
I don't think so. I've never used them, and every time I try to use them, I break the crust. So, I mean, even if you just have some tin foil on hand, and if you find the top part of your crust is getting a little too dark, you can always just top it with some tin foil.
What about pie weights?
Those are necessary if you're making a cream pie or something that you need to pre-bake the crust with. I always put a piece of parchment paper on the bottom of the pie crust, and then I fill it with the pie weights, and you want to fill it to where your crimping starts. So that this way, when you bake the crust doesn't fall in.
Mm. So one thing that I loved reading your book, it gave me a burst of sanity.
Just a burst.
A burst. Ovens, the temperature of ovens and the cooking time varies, and you can't take recipes literally. Do I have that right?
Yes. That's what I found when I started my business. I baked, out of my condo up in Vermont, and I went through three different ovens, and all three ovens actually worked totally different from each other. So I really relied on the oven thermometer.
Yeah, that used to drive me nuts. I'm too lazy to get an oven thermometer, but the cooking times would vary so much from the recipe. I thought, what, am I doing something wrong? Did I make the initial recipe
wrong? Yeah, I'll get phone calls too. Well, you say 15 minutes. Well, and I always try to explain to people that, the ovens are, every oven's different.
Every oven is different. So you just watch for doneness? Is that the idea?
Yep, and it's an estimated time, which is in the recipe. So you kind of go off of that, but, it depends, too, if you're baking with an electric oven or a gas oven or propane. It's all different.
All right. Leave us with a pie that is really easy to make but really impresses the heck out of people when we bring it to the event.
I would say, any of our, in the one of my favorites is the turtle pecan pie. That's a really good pie, and it's really not all that difficult to make. And it's traditional pecan, but it's got, caramel and chocolate in it.
And what about, for people who in your family who might be cutting down on sugar, maybe they're diabetic, what about sugar-free pies? Do they still taste good?
They do. They do, especially when you're using fresh fruit. I mean, you're really getting more of the flavors from the fruit rather than, what the seasoning of it is.
So a fruit pie would be the way to go for thinking sugar-free.
Yeah, yep. I mean, you could do cream pies, too, but, they're not as good when you can't top it with the fresh whipped cream. You can. You're making fresh whipped cream, but they're not, sweetened with the confectionery sugar and the right yumminess that goes with it.
So maybe something like berries, raspberries, strawberries, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm, yep. Or even apple, and there's a pumpkin pie sugar-free recipe in the book.
All right, Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
That was Michelle Stewart. Her book is Perfect Pies and More. And remember, we've got a recipe of hers. It was the pumpkin meringue pie, right? On the Central Time Facebook page. Check it out. Make it. Freeze it. Mail it to us.
It's a little self-serving. Yes, it looks delicious. So check that out.